an unseen car crashes into a raging river. Is there any hope for the occupants? What would you do if you had a rifle locked and loaded and you saw Bigfoot? Then we head out to Poland to find a cult with such bizarre beliefs you don't have the balls to join. Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. I hope you guys are having a great day too. Let's give a shout out to our newest Patreon, Saint Sava. Saint Sava, really, really appreciate your support. Really, really helps out a lot. You will be our navigator, our pilot, our, what's the person? A chauffeur for this episode. If you can't support the Patreon, that's fine too. Just help get the word out about the show. That really, really helps out a lot as well. So Saint Sava, let's go ahead and fire up. Let's get in the Jason Jalopy. We're going to start off the episode in the Jason Jalopy. We are headed out to Spanish Fork, Utah. Our little car's driving down the road. It's March 6th, 2015. And we're driving along. Now it's nighttime. Like, it's 10:30 p.m. We're driving down the road, and in front of us is some other car. It's a Subaru. It's a Nissan Subaru, if that's even a thing. And we're driving alongside of it. And all of a sudden, you hear a splash. No, that's not someone opening a can of Sprite, refreshing Sprite, and feeling the blast, feeling that refreshing splash of citrus flavor. No, us and the car in front of us both heard, in the darkness, a car go off the road. Pull over, and we're looking around, and don't see anything. Can't see anything at all. It's super dark outside. But they call the police, and they go, hey, I think I heard a car crash, but I don't see anything here. Now, what I would assume happens is that the police come out and check. But maybe it was too dark for the police, too. Maybe this center of Utah is actually a black hole. All light gets absorbed. But the police do show up. I don't know how they didn't notice this, but they show up. They're shining their flashlights. The light is bending into a circle, and they're like, oh, we gotta go. So their light is bending into the event horizon. They're like, oh, we gotta go. So anyways, the police leave. Now, 12:24 p.m. the next day. So what is that, like 14 hours later? There's a fisherman down by the river. He's throwing his little thing in. His fishing rod is what I meant. Don't be dirty. And he's drinking a refreshing Sprite. And he sees a car upside down in the water. Now, it's like half sticking out of the water. It was far, like, you wouldn't be able to see it from the road. So if you were driving down the road, you wouldn't have seen this. It was like in a gully. But I do think it's weird that the cops didn't spot half of a car in the river. Again, time and space may be distorted in this part of Utah. But the cops didn't see the night before. The fisherman does, though, 12:24. It's a long time. So the cops get to the scene that day. And they're really not expecting to find any survivors. Because it's been 14 hours, the water's freezing cold, it's March in Utah. The car's been upside down in the water. It could be summertime in Arizona, your chances of living very long in an upside down car. But again, part of the car was sticking out. But, you know, they're figuring whoever's in the car is dead. So when they get there and they kind of start looking at the scene and figuring out how to safely move the car, they hear a woman yelling, help! Help me! What? They're looking behind them. They're like, I know that sound's not coming from the car. Is there a woman on the freeway who needs her help? No, help, help. So everything gets kicked into high gear. And the cops run down there. And they start to look in the car. And they see there's a little baby in the car. A little tiny baby. 18-month-old little girl was in her child seat. And her head was barely touching the top of the water. She was cold. She didn't have long. The cops immediately, like, there's footage of this where the cops, when they notice, they're like trying to get into the vehicle to find out who's yelling and to help them, not just to discover who it is. They see the baby and you can hear them go, whoa, 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 baby, baby. And then they started singing that song by Justin Bieber. It becomes a musical dance number during this rescue. They rescue the baby out. It's so heartbreaking. They show them, like, handing the baby up the hill. Because they, I mean, like, minutes at this point. It's not like one guy trying to walk up a muddy hill. Ooh, Benny Hill, music's playing. he passes it to one person, she passes it to someone else, and it goes on and they show a little 18-month-old baby getting like chest massages in an ambulance. It's all like body cam stuff. Little, wake up, baby. Now, the baby is 100% fine. The baby is totally fine. But, by the time they got there, by the time they were able to do all this rescue stuff, the mother, Jennifer Grosbeck, 25 years old, was dead. She was dead long before the cops got there. Now, none of these cries for help are caught up on any sort of body cam. But multiple officers and rescue personnel on the scene have all said they heard someone. They heard an adult woman crying for help. Here's a quote from Officer Tyler Bedoz with the Spanish Fork Police Department. Quote, I don't know what I thought I heard. I'm not a typically religious guy. It's hard to explain. It was definitely something. Where and why it came from, I'm not sure. Now, the baby survived, the mother died, that's obviously tragic. Was the mother's ghost crying out for help to save the baby? Because really what would have happened, because they had heavy machinery out there to flip the car. Had they just thought the car's been in the river for 14 hours, an adult would have been over, you know, dead by now. You wouldn't think a baby would just be barely touching the water. A average-sized adult would have had their head submerged for hours and hours and hours. They were going to flip the car. And who knows what the baby would have been like. Oh, they're doing demolition derby down there. They're pushing it with other cars. If they had not stopped to really run into the car and to look into the car, they may have mechanically flipped the car over, and that could have done some serious damage to the baby. Sad story with a miraculous ending. Let's go ahead and get this story. Let's get this episode a little more chipper. Saint Sava's over there. Don't be sad, Saint Sava. No, I just got something in my eye. I don't know why my voice is so high-pitched all of a sudden. It's okay, Saint. It's okay. Here's an official Dead Rabbit Radio handkerchief you can use. I should have Dead Rabbit Radio coronavirus masks. Dang it. Anyways, let's hop inside the Carpenter Copter. Let's leave behind Saint Fork, Utah. We're waving goodbye. We're avoiding that black hole. Push it harder. Push it harder, Saint. We're flying away from Spanish Fork, Utah. We're headed out to the Montana wilderness. Beautiful trees everywhere, dotting the land. And I gotta say, this story was recommended by our good friend of the show, Bennett, aka Bigfoot Bennett, sending me some more stories. So thank you so much. Gotta give a shout out to Bennett for sending this one over. There's a hunter there, and he has his rifle, and he knows what he's hunting. He's hunting the Sasquatch. Now, a lot of people say they're Sasquatch hunters, but this guy means it. He's not taking pictures. He's not setting up trail cams. He doesn't have any of that lame plaster cast stuff. He wants to kill it. So he's walking through the woods, and he sees it. Aims his rifle. Birds are all waiting to flutter at the gunshot. They're like, one goes to fly, and he's like, Barry, no, not yet. We're going to be dramatic. We're going to wait until the gunshot. The guy's like, I have to go poop. You're a bird. Just poop here. Just hold on. Hunter has the rifle. He sees in the brush. I don't know what brush is. He sees in the brush. That was the birds. On the other end of that rifle, about 50 yards away, this dude is out doing some target practice. Plink, 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 shooting stuff. All of a sudden, tree shatters next to him. Birds flying away. Wow, that was awfully dramatic. Another gunshot towards him. Psh, whoa! Another gunshot. Psh, psh, psh. Finally, the dude who was just there doing some target practice was like, stop shooting! Stop shooting! I mean, I'm assuming you're doing this on accident. And then the Bigfoot hunter walks up to him and goes, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. Quote, I thought you were Bigfoot. So there is a guy in the Montana wilderness. This isn't the first time this has happened. There was a guy in the Montana wilderness, because this dude called the police. Another guy came forward to the police and said, yeah, you won't believe it. The other day I was walking through the forest and the police are like, let me guess, someone shot at you and thought you were Bigfoot. Yeah, how would you know? There's a guy in the wilderness. The police actually did interview him, but they didn't press the charges against him. That's what it was. So the police did find this hunter and they interviewed him. And the hunter goes, listen, I'll be totally honest with you. Quote, he looks right at the camera, quote, I don't target practice, but if I see something that looks like Bigfoot, I just shoot at it, unquote. Turns away from the camera and looks at the cops. Now, I get it. Montana's a big state, and there's not a lot of people there. But I still don't understand why the police are like, whether or not people want to press charges on this guy, the fact is he's blind. Because what do you think of when you think of Bigfoot? There's three attributes that Bigfoot has. One is he has big feet. That's the most obvious one. But you can't see those as a hunter. Two, he's hairy. And three, he's, say it with me, big. He's like 8 feet tall. So unless these other hunters being shot at are all NBA prospects, he's just looking, he sees a guy who's 5'10". He's 5'9", and he's like, there he is. The legendary Bigfoot. He's shooting at normal human-sized people. Even if these people are like Chris Hemsworth, 6'2" scale. I would never confuse Chris Hemsworth with a Bigfoot at all. So, they definitely, whether or not they're pressing charges, they definitely should put a stop to his, I shoot anything I think is Bigfoot, oh yeah, and I can't tell. I don't know what a Bigfoot looks like. I think Bigfoot is just a normal-sized human being. So I'm going to shoot those two. So, that is going on. You may want to cancel your flight out to Montana, or if you live there, maybe move, or quit wearing your Bigfoot costume for Halloween. And then let's take a quick trip back up here to Klamath County, Oregon. This happened on May 8th, I think it was 2019, actually. This guy calls up 911, starts being a jerk to the 911 operator, which don't do that, right? Don't do that. You 911, it's your emergency. You suck and you stink. Pewee! Oh, and by the way, I'm having a heart attack. Because how you treat them is kind of how... Think about, like, when you go to a restaurant and you're rude to the waiter. And then, first off, your food may come on time, but I guarantee it's been spinning. And second of off, it might just take a while if she doesn't come back to your table a lot. Imagine that scenario, but your life is in danger. So anyways, this guy calls up 911. He starts being a total jerk to the operator. And he says that some dude has an axe and is, like, attacking him. Again, in that circumstance, do you have time to be a jerk? 911 operator, he finally gets to the meat of the matter. And the cops show up. Now, they're taking their time. The cops show up. And the guy goes, oh, you just missed them. You just missed him. You just missed the man with the axe. And then, as the man's talking to the police, he goes, oh, it wasn't just any man. I want to call 911 if it was just a man. I am obviously tough enough to fight a man with an axe. It was Bigfoot with an axe. And then the cops looked at each other and they arrested him. Put him on a mental health hold. I think, so there we go, two weirdos in the woods. One hunting Bigfoot, one being attacked by Bigfoot. Now that I think about it, they should team up. It should be like a buddy cop comedy, but they're not cops. They're both insane. It's like one man has the gun. Click, click. One man has the tongue. And he's super like he's cussing at people is what that means. But together, they're tongue and gun. That's the name of the movie. People are like, wait a second, is the implication the guy with the gun doesn't have a tongue? Maybe that's it too. Maybe the guy without the gun can't talk. He's a mute. And then the guy who can talk can only be rude to people, and he's a pacifist. He can never shoot a gun. But that's my new movie. Don't steal my idea. Tongue and Gun. It's the story of two men lost in the woods. They were looking for a Bigfoot. They found each other instead. Actually, now that sounds more like a romance. Who knows? Tongue and Gun. James Wan, I know you listen to this podcast. Make that movie happen. Tongue and Gun. The Hunt for Bigfoot. Saints, Sava, let's go ahead and fire up that carpenter copter one last time this episode. We are headed out to Poland. It's going to be a long journey. We're headed out to Poland. Specifically, we're going to a place that I didn't know existed. It sounds like a supervillain. It's called Roklaw. There was a Reddit thread from a user known as Pat1, and this was on the Unresolved Mysteries subreddit. And it was interesting because it was one of those conspiracy theories, cults that I had never, ever heard of. There's not a lot of resources on this. He's obviously translating it from Polish. And so when I was checking out some of the links he provided, I was running Google Translate. There's not a lot of information out of this. So I'm going to say right up the front, this is all allegedly. 80% of this, 90% really, of this research is coming from Pat1. So I really, really appreciate it for bringing the story to the light. And I really appreciate it for you doing the translating for it. Awesome, awesome job. Because I had never heard of this and it's quite fascinating. We're going to land our helicopter in Roklaw, Poland. It's 1980. We're walking down the streets. Everything's communist gray. Every so often there's a red flag fluttering in the distance we're walking around. And we see a guy named Edward Milnick. He's 35 years old, and he's running through town square. Now, the night previous, he had a dream. The Blessed Virgin Mary came to him. It really wasn't a dream. It was just a vision at night. At least what he claims. The Blessed Virgin Mary comes to him. He's running through the town square, and he's like, everyone, listen, I saw the Blessed Virgin. He wasn't doing that. He wasn't announcing it the next day. But he does get a little nugget in his brain about starting a cult. And he does. He does. It's called the Entrovies. The Entrovies cult. By the mid-90s is when it kind of explodes in popularity. And it doesn't get super big, but cults don't have to be big to be dangerous. You had 27 founding members, and then you had 15 what was known as ordinary members. And then, so that's quite small for a cult, but then they would have classes in Poland that were attracting people, because we're getting into the ideology in a second. They would have classes that would attract people, and you'd get up to 600 people per class. But by 1994, the cult was disbanded. It was declared that the mission had been fulfilled. What they had been brought here for had been taken care of, and they disbanded. So that information is from a book called Nihil Obstat, Religion, Politics, and Social Change in East Central Europe, and that was written by Sabrina P. Ramit. And it was a book about those subjects, religion, politics, and social change. That was pretty much all the information about this group, the Entrovies. But when we look at the research and the links that Pat One did, we get a more interesting, but they're really a footnote in cult history. Edward Milnick, 35 years old, he already was, before he even had the vision, he was interested in stuff like bioenergy therapy. That's like where you rubbing the hands over people and you're feeling the energy waves. Oh yeah, let me push that one down. Okay, that one needs to come up a little more. Oh, not up too far. There we go. Hocus pocus type stuff. Dowsing, taking a stick or the little pendulum and being like, oh, there's like water here. You're next to a river as the wind's blowing it towards the river. But his classes, now again, this is all alleged because this is all from the Reddit posts and this is all from articles that I had to run through Google Translate. So there could be some errors here, but this is pretty much the gist of it. So allegedly, these were the stories that were told. We're going to go to one of these Entrovies class meetings. They're open to the public. We sit down, we're eating popcorn. That's not against the religion, you're allowed to eat popcorn. This movie starts projecting, and it goes, dun 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 dun, millions of years ago, and we see these starships appear on the screen. So you know you're in for a dope religion, right? You know you're in for a dope religion. Anything that involves starships flying around is pretty good. Giant starships. They're models. They're not even CGI. They're not that fake looking CGI that ages out in 2 years. Poof, we see these starships. Millions of years ago, two starships landed on Earth. That one is farther away. It wasn't a smaller ship. That one lands farther away from our main ship. Doors come down. One ship was filled with the Slavs. So you have all these people walking out of their ship and they're like, oh, this is so awesome that we landed here. Hey, Poe, what should we name this place? I don't know. Let's name it Poland. But we'll pronounce it Poland. Ah, that's a good idea. Then from now on, this place is known as Poland. Technically, they landed on Sliza Mountain, which is only 19 miles from Rokla. I mentioned this. It's so funny because we covered another cultish guy. Stanislaw, the guy who believed that the Yetis were trying to take over the planet still. He's a very, very famous artist. When I was doing that episode, I made the reference. It's always funny when people invent cults. Wherever they invented the cult and whatever ethnicity they are, that's the perfect species. You very rarely see like a cult spring up in Tennessee saying that the most advanced people on the planet are New Zealanders. And the promised land is this little patch of land in New Zealand. It's almost always your ethnic group and where you're at. So, and Stanislaw, that dude, that artist guy had the same thing. Polish people were the only true humans. Everyone else was like a Yeti interbreeded creature. That was an old episode. That was like episode like 150 or something like that. Anyways, so same thing here. They have two spaceships. One of them is filled with Slavs. They land in Poland. Ship 2 is filled with Jews. At this point, when they announced that, when they announced, they're like, and the other ship was full of Jews. We kind of look at each other and we're like, okay, where's this going? And of course, you know where it's going. It delves deeply into anti-Semitic territory. Jews are the enemies of the human race type of nonsense. Everyone else is pure except for this Jewish ship. People are tricked into worshiping Jews. And that was one of the things, like, where their ship, they said, was the center of the world, but the true center of the world was Poland. So while everyone should be paying attention to Poland, in this version, Mary has Jesus, who's half Jewish, and then because he's only half Jewish, he totally goes to war with the Jews and is trying to save the Polish people. And then it just nonsense like that. Just made up stuff, right? Because I know it's pretty much a trope on this show that I don't know my geography, but I'm pretty sure if you're born in old-timey Israel, you're not Polish. So the fact that for whatever reason they think that the Mother Mary is Polish is, again, I know why they think that. It's because the people who are following this are Polish. Now, this is going to obviously get 600 people into a classroom because you're being told during communist Russian rule that you are the special people. You not only are you special, you're actually the only pure line from this other world. Makes you feel special. Cults really try to make you feel special. That's how they get you in. Again, if this cult was saying, well, there's two groups of people, the true believers were the chosen one and then the Jews, that doesn't resonate as much. Because then anyone can be the chosen one. It has to be, we were denied our genetic birthright because of these Jews in this other spaceship. So it's a very attractive religion to people who are being oppressed, right? It makes you feel like in the near future, you will have your birthright. Your genetic birthright will be reestablished to you. Now, they also go to this level. They say that the Jewish people still have their starship on Earth. It's still on Earth where it landed. I don't know what happened to the Polish one. Just kind of decayed. They just took it apart to build houses and they're like, hey, wait, don't we need that? And they're like, oh, yeah. The Jewish people still have their spaceship now, but they need to power it with Central European energy. So the Jewish people decided to start World War II, create the Holocaust so that specifically Adolf Hitler was doing the Holocaust. The whole purpose of the Holocaust was to get energy for the ship. That was the whole point. They were using the souls, the biological energy of other Jewish people and Central Europeans to power the ship. But Hitler was defeated before the ship could reach maximum power. So then the Jews backed Stalin to get more energy for the ship. So again, we see that this would be so attractive to Poles in the 1990s. The reason why we are under hardcore communist rule is because the Jewish people put us here. They're trying to siphon off our energy to create our ship. Now, every cult needs not only a bad guy, but they need a redemption story themselves. So you're totally on board. We're not. We're like, no, this is nonsense. But Johnny Polish Seed is totally on board with this thing, right? He's been bought in hook, line, and sinker. And he's like, I believe that we came down, that I'm pure blood, that the Jewish people have their ship, and they're trying to take off, and they're going to leave all of us behind. What do we do? What's our redemption? And that is when the Antrovies let them know that while we do not have a spaceship here on Earth, there is a race of alien people out there who will come and rescue us. Specifically, you're going to have 144,000 white people, Slavs, 600,000 other people from other races as well, but still mostly other Slavs. But the 144,000, the chosen one, will definitely be Slavs, definitely be people from Poland. And then we'll get people from other races as well. Their ship is going to, they said, we're just going to lay low. We're not going to do anything for right now. We're going to lay low. The aliens soon, another hallmark of a cult is the coming promise day. It's not too far off in the future, but the aliens soon will come to Earth to rescue us. And then you would go, well, if the Jewish people's ship is powered by the souls of Central Europeans, what's the alien ship powered by? Like, do we have to sacrifice? Is there going to be another massive war? We're going to have to sacrifice a bunch of people? And Edward laughs. Oh, no, 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 no. Alien ships are not powered by the souls of Central Europeans. They're powered by testicles. And you're like, what? I'm sorry, I missed that last part. Can you repeat that? Yeah, they're powered by testicles. And you're like, why do you keep moving away from the microphone whenever I'm specifically asking you what they're powered by. And then Edward goes, okay, here's the thing. Aliens do need human body parts, not energy, not biological energy. They do need human body parts to power their ships. And they love human testicles for their ship. I don't know if it like allows them to like turn on their spinning rims or that little underglow. They have that little underglow underneath the ship like all the nice cars in the 1990s. But that is it. They need human body parts. And they specifically, for what, I've never known a car to be like, you know what, I love gasoline in myself, but you know what I really love is gasoline from Puerto Rico. You're like, what? I mean, gas is gas, right? Body parts are, but first off, alien ships, I don't know why I'm quibbling on that. An alien ship that needed human body parts, how did it get here in the first place? Secondly, why would it want balls? But, so this is where we get the connection to yesterday's story, because you had people castrating themselves. It became a ritual. So basically, you were giving up your testicles to power an alien spaceship that may or may not ever come. People were into this. Now, again, they say that the cult disbanded in 1994 because their mission was complete, which makes you wonder, is there a giant vault somewhere full of enough testicles to power an alien starship? But a lot of people in Poland think that the secret police just crashed the party and shut it down. But since 93-94, the cult's been done with. But what we do have is we have a couple of missing people connected to this. March 1st, 1993, a young man named Andrzej Selecki, he was 18 years old. He attended a couple meetings of this group, and this is 1993, so they're still in action. He attended a couple meetings. He was really into paranormal, spirituality, stuff like that. He started going to the meetings. He started, again, this is a warning sign when people are into cults. He began blowing off normal activities, he really stopped talking to his friends, kind of just hung out in his room all day meditating. March 1st, 1993, walked out of his house, never seen again. There was another teenager, according to Pat1 on Reddit, he says that another teenage went missing, but they couldn't find much information regarding that. It was just something that Pat1 was aware of. February 21st, 1995, so this is after the cult supposedly broke up. There was a PE teacher named Bogusław T. from Germany. Came to Poland. So you were getting people from other countries attracted to this group. He came to Poland specifically to be with the Anchovies. They had a satellite group in Germany. They have a big Polish population in Germany, but in that particular region. He's seen in Warsaw February 22nd, 1995. A few weeks later, he goes missing. A few weeks later, his body's pulled out of the Odra River. He had a head injury. You know, you fall in a river, you bang your head, you can die that way, right? Mutilated body. Well, maybe he fell into the river, hit his head, fell on a bunch of rocks, got mutilated up, right? Surgically removed testicles. The cops tracked down two surgeons who were known members of the Trovies, and both of them go, well, the group doesn't exist anymore. I don't know anything about it. And so that case went cold in 1996. And apparently, again, according to Pat1, in 2009, the police records involved in this case were destroyed. So, obviously, it's an oddball, no pun intended, it's an oddball cult that has stories of racial superiority, another group having racial inferiority or being malignant towards mankind. These are all very, very common tropes in cults. A selected few, a coming judgment day, reward for the faithful. But cults never really just kind of go, we're done. We're done being... Because imagine if you did get castrated and then like a year later and it's like, we're done. We're not doing this anymore. It would be surprising if the cult is completely gone. Even if the secret police broke it up, it would be surprising if there weren't some holdouts. If anything, when the government comes in to shut down the cult, it actually emboldens members. Because then they know Judgment Day is coming. Because they're actually being shut down. So is this group still out here? Are they still harvesting human testicles to power a spaceship that will eventually take them out into the cosmos? I hope not. I absolutely hope not. But we will never know. Unless someone in this group gets caught, someone in this group comes forward, we'll never know. It could be a group that is 100% underground. And it's one of those, and thank you so much, Pat1, for putting all this information out. It's one of those groups that, as we're looking, and conspiracy theorists have a tendency to do this, they look at these massive, multinational groups. and they're constantly paying attention to them, which I'm not saying don't do that, but at a certain point, the conspiracy becomes so overriding. It's this political group that's the bad guy. It's this political group that's the good guy. It's just and they're looking at these massive plots from all these major figures that we can just name over and over again. It's these little groups that actually existed, and have done harm, or may continue to do harm. While everyone's looking up at their political opponents and going, I bet you they're doing horrible things. Two blocks away from you, there could be a group of people actually doing horrible things. It's easier to look at your political opponents and go, that's the bad guy. Rather than to look at the small group of people that meet in the house once a month. You may not even notice it, but they notice you. When you're wearing the sweatpants walking down the street, they notice you and they go, he's packing a lot of fuel that we could use for our spaceship. DeadRabbitRadio@gmail.com is going to be our email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. Twitter is @DeadRabbitRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, but I'm glad you listened to it today. Have a great one, guys.